T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we are joined by former Browns offensive lineman and super friend of the show. He is John Greco. Hi, Greco. How are you doing? What's going on, John?
Guys, what's up? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm like you and everyone else, just, you know, every day waiting new news and if anything's going to happen with this season and Major League Baseball, NBA, just waiting.
All right. Couple things I want to talk to you about. First of all, you're in Columbus right now. So it's so weird. Like, we listened to the Ohio State stuff from Gene Smith yesterday. And Gene was pretty gloom and doom about the Big Ten playing only the Big Ten. And then we hear the NFL stuff about, well, we're going to have 25% capacity at our stadiums. I feel like I'm in the middle of a tug of war trying to figure out, are we going forward or are we going backward? Do you see it that way?
I do. You know, I think college is a different animal, and you know, both of them are big, big money businesses. So we can all agree on that. The right thing that's going to hurt college is the classroom, the students. Or, you know, or is it going to be all distant learning? Are they going to even have class? You know, what's going on? How are they going to be able to put up with the big PR pressure if it's not safe to go to class, but it's safe to have full contact football and fans in the stands and competition, in my opinion. So, you know, I'm really, really kind of use the term gloom and doom. I'm each day I'm becoming more, you know, glass half empty when it comes to college. With the NFL, I think there's still a chance. I think they're going to do everything in their power to start the season at least on time, if not maybe a week late. I don't know what preseason is going to look like. It seems just like it's a waiting game right now. But I do think that they will start. Now, you know, who knows what happens this fall with cases and numbers and stats. And, you know, do they finish? I don't know. Does it go on hold at some point in the season? I don't know. But that's kind of where I'm at. I know that's a lot to unpack, but that's kind of where I'm at.
No, we're all in the same camp, John. I mean, we're trying to figure out how this is all going to go. So, to preseason games in the NFL, how many preseason games do you think it takes for you to get ready to play?
You're just trying to put together a good drive, a good, you know, 10, 12 plays. That way that next week of practice isn't miserable. Because if you go out there and lay an egg and go 3 and out or, you know, it looks ugly, that whole next week it's bad for you during practice, and the coaches are, you know, their rear ends are puckered, they're nervous, everybody's hitting the panic button. For me, it was always about that last preseason game, you know, putting together a good, you know, half, really putting together a scoring drive and feeling good about that, you know, 2 weeks or so before week one. Because, you know, if you kind of lay an egg out there and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, then it's like, oh, man, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot to prove week one. If you kind of go into that third preseason game and you're feeling good about things, you put together a scoring drive, you're completing passes, you're running the ball, you're playing good defense, then you have some momentum going into week one. So for me, you know, you prepare yourself physically all during camp, the conditioning, the, you know, everything prepares you to get to week one. But it's just nice to kind of get the nerves out of your system in that preseason game, hit somebody that's not wearing the same jersey. So to answer your question, I take one game and ready to go, kind of a dress rehearsal.
As far as having a new coach, though, And switching, I mean, it's one thing when one player goes into a system, like when you left Cleveland, you know, to go to one new coach is not a, one player to a coach isn't. But when you're talking about a team with a all new everything on a coaching staff, I would think the Browns would be at a serious disadvantage. And it's nothing against, you know, Kevin Stefanski. It's about the fact that he's new, everything else is new, and now you're not going to play any games. Matt, that's not a good tone to be setting when you go into the season, or I think it just makes things more difficult. What do you think of that?
Yeah, there's definitely an argument there. You know, the system that we're talking about in particular is one, if everybody's, you know, there's a lot of teams that are in the same situation. I think the Browns have the advantage in the sense that this is an offense that is, you know, I don't want to call it simple. I think that's the wrong term because it's complex, but the concepts are easy to grasp, easy to pick up. There's not a lot of thinking. It allows you to just play fast. So I think that's an advantage that Cleveland has moving forward. And, you know, that they've installed things all throughout the virtual offseason. And, you know, so you'll just need to see how the young players progress. Are they able to transition the mental to the physical on the field whenever they do start? But I think there's a lot of veterans and enough guys that have been around the league that have seen various systems and offenses, and they're able to kind of conceptualize things, you know, behind the scenes mentally, and they're going to be able to hit the ground running. So I don't think it's going to be a huge, huge thing. You know, there might be a little rust, but I think you're going to see a lot of teams dealing with that one way or another.
John Greco joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former Browns offensive lineman. I think we've asked you this before, but it's been a minute. So Jedrick Wills transitioning from one side of the line to the other side of the line. How long does it take for you to get your footwork down to be able to handle such a thing as you being a guard, probably going from one side of the line to the other as well?
You know, a guard's a little bit different because your stagger isn't as dramatic as it is at tackle. Okay. You're still kind of moving in a smaller phone booth as you know, we like to refer to it as. Tackle is a little bit different because you're in more space. Your stagger is more drastic with, you know, your kind of post and kick foot being so staggered. You know, it's an individual case. I'm assuming that he's working hard on it, you know, behind the scenes and in his training sessions. So, you know, when he does get a chance to get next to Joel and they get their combination blocks, because that's where, you know, time is the only thing that works with you, you know, getting that chemistry, building those combination blocks. He's athletic, you know, enough to where he can pass that on his own and block defensive ends. He's been doing that his whole life. So I'm assuming, like I said, he's been working on it. And as long as he gets a week under his belt, you know, assuming they have some kind of preparation before week one kicks off, I think he'll feel real comfortable and feel right at home once he flips over. And, you know, he's got one of the best guys he's going to see at every snap of practice. So, you know, it's going to be a good test for him going into that first week.
John Greco joining us. I'm curious your thoughts on J.C. Treader, who's the president of the NFLPA, and we all know him as Brown Center, and the stance that he's kind of taken this week with the things that he's written on the president's notes from the NFLPA on NFLPA.com. I mean, just talking about player safety, and, you know, we talk about, okay, they're going to play, and then you read some of his stuff, and you're like, hang on a second, we need to really think about what's important here. What are your thoughts on some of the things that Treader's been able to say over the last week and his job as president?
You know, I'm impressed with JC and his job so far and his kind of you know, the young position that he's in right now early on. He's a very smart guy. And, you know, you got to understand that he's representing the collective body of the players, which is a lot of players in a lot of different, you know, situations and parts of their career. And guys, some guys are very comfortable financially and set for the rest of their lives. And then there's some guys that are fighting to get on rosters and, you know, trying to make their way. And so he speaks for a lot of different voices. So he has to have the collective group in mind. And I think safety is paramount. You know, obviously the other side of the coin, the NFL side, their main goal and right now is to get football out there, get it on TV, get a product on the field. So, you know, I don't want to say that they're have, you know, bad intentions and they're, you know, putting player safety out the window, because I don't think that's what they want. I think they want their star players out there late in the season playing the playoffs. But it's got to be a thing, and what JC's doing well, in my opinion, is things happen. Look how fast things happen, how news is changing every day. JC's saying, let's just slow it down. You know, let's see what these other sports are, you know, what's going to happen with them before we agree to anything. Let's not let emotions make decisions for us. Let's let the facts play out, and then let's make an educated decision what's going to be best for everyone. And I've been impressed with the way he's handled things in this situation.
He seems like he's, you know, it seems like the NFLPA, for the first time in a little bit, seems like they actually have somebody who's in charge who really is just reading and reacting the room, because the NFL has the one thing that a lot of these other teams don't, or the other sports don't have, which is time. And yeah. So as this whole thing develops, and we've talked one preseason game and all that kind of stuff, if there is a delay in training camp, do we have to worry about anything of these guys showing up, you know, not ready for the season, like guys using training camp to get ready? Or has the NFL really just turned into a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job?
Well, it's both. I mean, it is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job, but you can't prepare for football unless you play football, if that makes sense. In other words, you know, if nobody is doing training camp and no one's having preseason games, and then you just kind of slap together a week or 2 weeks of preparation and play games, you know, there's going to be a level – it's going to be a little bit rusty and sloppy, I would guess, I would assume. And I think that's just natural because you're not doing that actual preparation that you need. But with that being said, I think they do have the luxury that time is on their side right now. And even though it's not a lot, I mean, you know, before week one, they do have the time, because like we said, 1 week, think about a week ago, how much has changed from up until this point. So I think they're at a place right now where they're not trying to rush anything, letting things play out. You know, everyone's open right now, and it seems like both sides are trying to work together and talk through things, which I respect, and it's good to see, because both parties have a lot to gain and a lot to lose. It's not like one side holds all the leverage, and it's just kind of a thing where you're holding each other over the coals. So I think they do want to get something done, and where everyone's safe, everyone feels comfortable, because there's not one party in this thing that doesn't want to see football played this fall.
All right, let me leave you this last question. I want to go back to college football for a second, because we were talking about this earlier in the show about the Big Ten deciding to only play the Big Ten in the beginning of the year. Do you think, as a guy that went to Toledo, do you think this could be – oh, I don't know, have long-term ramifications towards, you know, separating those Power Five conference teams from everybody else?
You know, I do think so, because, you know, that seems to me, that decision, we're talking about emotional decisions, that just seems to me that, like, they made it kind of a drastic choice to try. I guess they're doing it to promote safety. I mean... Is that the only thing? That's the only thing I can think of is the reason why they're doing that, to limit travel, limit exposure. But you're still playing conference games. What's the difference? You're still traveling, right, playing conference games. So I don't think I understand that. And you're right. I think that hurts those games, those Akron playing Alabama, Toledo playing Ohio State playing Oregon. I mean, think about that. I mean, that was primed to be a big, big game that the whole country would be watching. And, you know, they pushed that back or rescheduled. So, I do think that there are going to be, you know, ramifications from that, because the smaller schools that play those Big Ten schools early in the year, you know, those are big, big money games and exposure for those universities. And, you know, during recruiting, hey, you know, we're playing the Big Ten schools, we're playing all these schools, you know, come compete. Come try to knock them off. Come try to beat the big dogs. And, I knew I always enjoyed that when I was going through Toledo to play the bigger schools.
Yeah, but how much do you think that helped you get to the pros, those conference games against them? I mean, were you get – I'm trying to think of some of the – you might have played – did you play Minnesota your freshman year?
We played Minnesota, yeah. And we played Kansas. So, you know, when I was gone, they went up to the Big House and beat Michigan. So I do think it helps. You know, it either hurts or helps you. If you play well in those big games, you know, you're definitely on their radar, because if you're playing well in those big games, you're assumed to be dominating in your own conference. But at the same time, it can hurt you. If you go up there and lay an egg in those big games, you know, teams are going to start, you know, lowering you on their list. So I think it is important. And if you're not, if you don't have the opportunity to play in those type of games, you know, that raises a lot of questions when you're going through the next steps of your career, trying to advance. You know, you better be dominating in your conference. And you know, the big question mark is, can he play on the big stage? Can he compete against the top tier talent? And you know, these recruiters and these scouts have to, you know, just make educated guesses based off of film.
So let me throw this at you. As a guy that grew up in Youngstown and watched the Penguins have great success with Jim Tressel, did you ever think maybe when you were at Toledo that it might be kind of fun at the end of the season to be able to go through the tournament process rather than trying to grab a bowl game at the end of the year? I mean, I can understand why you would want to do both, but, you know, I just think being able to watch some of those Youngstown State games, I know the rivalry that they had with the teams around here, and then just because I was out in Montana when they were playing Youngstown State, I mean, there's some value to being able to play in those tournament games at the next level. I don't know that I want the Mid-American Conference to be there, but would there be value to have that second group of five have their own division so they could play their own tournament? And I don't know. I'm just curious what you think of that.
I would be all for that, and I think a lot of the guys would feel the same. You know, you're playing more games, you're getting more exposure. You know, the bowl games are, to me, they seem just like there's like a million of them now, and you know, they're playing all over the country, all over the world, really. You have them in the Bahamas now, and you know, I know guys like it, and they get to travel, and they're a lot of fun, but. You know, if you said that you had a chance to play in an actual tournament style game where it was one and done, and there was a opportunity to advance your season, and for a lot of guys that don't get a chance to play at the next level in the NFL, you know, that's their last game. So why not get a chance to prolong their career, their dream, and move on and try to compete more? So I would think I'd be all for it. And I would think some other, you know, a lot of the other guys would feel the same way.
All right, last question for you. What's on the grill for the weekend, and have you experimented in any new, any more culinary, I don't know.
Yeah, I need ideas, man.
Yeah,
you know,
need ideas.
I was at my parents' last night for kind of a going-away party for someone, and we made some pizzas in the oven, which were great. We were going to do them outside in the brick oven, but, you know, 95 degrees and then a 750 degree oven. I was not looking forward to that. And when I got to my dad's, he was like, "We're doing them inside." So that was a huge sigh of relief. So we made pizzas, and I have some scallops this weekend. I'm going to do some bacon wrapped scallops and kind of a lighter fare. And, you know, my wife and I have a wedding that we're prepping for here. So, you know, I'm kind of taking it easy on the grill and doing some lighter options.
So wait, are you trying to lose weight for a wedding? Trying to fit
trying
the dress?
To look
what are you
for
doing?
A wedding. Yeah. Try to firm up a little bit for a wedding.
Ah, you got this, buddy. You'll be all right.
Hey, how much weight have you lost since you were played?
Since I played, about 40 pounds. So I feel good. You know, I'd like to lose some more. I don't know if you're going to see me on the Titan Games with Joe and The Rock and everyone just yet. But I feel good. I'm playing a lot of golf. I'm hitting the ball well. And my body feels good, and I'm happy, and I'm having fun at home with the kids and just enjoying life right now.
All right, why don't you go sneak over at Muirfield while you're down in Columbus and see if anybody notices you out on the course. I don't think they will.
That'd be nice. I could throw a mask on and just kind of blend in with those guys.
All right, there you go.
Sounds
great,
man.
John Greco, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Always thank you for the cooking tips, and we love your football insight. Thanks, John.
Guys, thanks. Have a good weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.